Hey guys, quick disclaimer. This episode contains a very sensitive topic. We talked about pregnancy, abortion, and being a young mom. So it's okay to have different views and opinions. This episode is based on I and Mercy's opinion. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. Thank you.
Hi guys, my name is Mercy Oma. I'm currently a fifth year medical student. I am a mother to a beautiful, beautiful girl. She's called Zara Taraji, and yeah, I'm happy to be here. You're listening to the Classic Overdrive podcast.
Hey everyone, you're welcome to another episode of the Classic Overdrive podcast. My name is Christy. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, you're welcome. And if this is not your first time, to my OG listeners, you're welcome again to this podcast. I hope you guys had an amazing week. I hope you guys had a lovely week, because me, I'm having an amazing week. I think my week is actually over, but yeah, I had an amazing week so far. So with me today, I have a mother, a colleague. When you know someone for the first time, you've been with him for a very long time. Like, we just started working together, and it feels good. Like, she's just someone I got to know recently, very recently. And I've known her, but I've not known her that way. So yeah, she's a mother of one, like she said earlier, a young mom. She's versatile, she's smart. Because get you a medical student who's also a mom, yo.
That's true.
Not easy. So yeah, she's Mercy Obuma, so I'll let her introduce herself. She used to be a YouTuber, but then I don't know what happened. And now a podcast lover. Welcome to the club of podcasting.
I just joined that recently, though.
But you love it.
Yeah, so far so good.
You enjoy it.
So far so good.
Yeah, okay, that's nice. So today we're going to be talking about motherhood, being a young mom, and everything around being a mother. Anything that comes along the way, we just talk about it. Before I go further, Mercy, how was your week? And can you tell us about yourself some more?
Well, I've had a very relaxed week, I'd say, because fifth year is so, I don't know, there's nothing to do. So.
There's something to do.
Well, yeah.
The reading part.
But the days are not packed as it was before. So I've had a very relaxed week, just chilling in the house, cooking a lot these days.
Oh, wow.
Trying new recipes and all that. Yeah, but it's been chill.
What recipes have you been trying out?
There's this cook. She's called, I think Kaluhi something. So I try her recipe. She's Kenyan, but she's very diversified. So I've been Googling that and trying some of her things. So I've tried matoke something, and I tried to make Indian beef or something.
Indian beef?
Yeah, something like that.
How did that go?
It was okay, actually. It was okay. But now the problem is, because now we don't have the exact recipes, you have to substitute with some of the things. So it was nice. It was okay. But I feel like if I were to use the exact items, ingredients that she was using, it would have been better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you like an aspiring chef?
Nope. I hate cooking. I hate cooking.
Why?
In fact, I feel like my husband is going to go through a lot.
Oh,
because, I don't know. It's just a lot of work. I feel like I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy cooking at all. So I'm doing it because I'm bored and because I need to fill my days up with something to do. But other than that, I don't think I'm aspiring to be a chef or...
Okay. Do you consider yourself a foodie or
No, I just eat to survive. I eat to live. I don't...
Okay.
Yeah.
But you appreciate food.
Yeah, I appreciate food.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
For me, I can't say anything about my week because I've been struggling to catch up with schoolwork personally. Mm-hmm. But besides podcasting, FYI, my podcast is already a year old.
Congratulations. Thank you.
I didn't celebrate because I've been very inconsistent and I feel like I've not reached where or done what I really want to do for my podcast yet. So I feel like when I'm there, when I could have done something, at least I would celebrate it properly. Thank you so much to everyone that listens to my podcast. Thank you guys so much for sharing, supporting, loving the podcast. It means a lot to me. So let's get right into today's episode, yeah?
Okay.
I don't even know how to start because it's I have a lot of corners to go through. Like,
I
don't know, because I'm like, first of all, how did you find out the whole pregnancy thing?
Okay.
How did you find out? How did you accept it? Because in this day and age, finding out you're pregnant, and as a medical student, people would say, I know what to do. Like, I've seen crazy stuff on my WhatsApp. There's a girl, I'm not going to mention anyone's name. She posted about sex and after sex stuff. Then she was like, funny enough, she's a nursing student. And she posted things like, once you miss your period and you take a pregnancy test and you know you're pregnant, all you have to do is use Ampiclox. I was like, Ampiclox?
For what?
Androliva salt. There's this thing they use for heartburn. People that have heartburn. I was just seeing lots of crazy drugs. And I'm like, what happened to posting out after sex? What happened to going to a clinic and stuff like that? And this is a nurse, a healthcare professional advocating for such things online.
Oh, so she was saying that to abort?
Yeah, she was just saying, yeah, to, if you feel like you've had unprotected sex and you know what's going to happen, just use all these drugs. And I was like, you shouldn't be advocating for such things, because young people are very gullible. Everyone wants to get the fast, because
it's true.
No one wants to go to a pharmacy to say, I want to buy Postina too.
Yeah, because it's really hard. I don't know.
It's easy for a guy to go get it, but as a lady, you're going to get that drug. It's hard.
So. Yeah, it's hard. When you get to a point where you're like, you know what, I'm doing this, because I feel like I'm very confident and I'm not shy about, I don't care about what people see. So over time, when I'm dealing with my friends will send me to go buy P2 for them or condoms.
Can't. As a friend, I can't.
Like, I'll do it. I'm not even ashamed. I will go to the chemist and I'm like, I need P2. And I will, you don't even have to pack it. Why are you packing it? People are having sex. So why are we pretending?
But you know how that evil African look, this African pharmacist give you, like, so you're actually like, you know, that evil look, like, oh my God, so you're actually doing it.
Yeah. Like, but it's like, you know what? I'm protecting myself. You see, this is my body. This is what I'm doing for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, okay, let's start from the beginning. I had a boyfriend who is still currently my boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He stayed.
He's one of the good ones. So, of course, we were having sex. And if you're having sex, then you should expect
the consequences. Not everyone expects that.
But why are you having sex when you've not thought through? What are you going to get? You can get pregnant, you can get STIs,
HIV.
There's so much to go around. There's emotional damage, there's so much spiritual, all those things. Yeah. So you cannot be having sex and then not planning for whatever will happen. So anyway, we had talked about, I was actually on what's it called? Provera Depot. I was using Depot, it didn't work. I switched to, I'm forgetting its name, but it's this strip. They put it on your left.
On your arm?
Yeah, on your arm. Okay. Sort of a strip. I think it's a progestin only.
Okay.
So I was on that. But then it had effects on me. I bled. I was having periods for, I don't know, months. For like 4 months straight. And I was like, what was the point of me putting a contraceptive?
If you're bleeding.
If I'm continuously bleeding and I'm actually not enjoying myself. So I removed it. But now during the time of me removing it and trying to figure out what next contraceptive I'll use, that was the time that Zara came.
Okay.
Yeah. So she was not planned for. But I totally appreciate that she came. And aww. I am so happy, so happy. Like, I'm obsessed with that human being. She's amazing. So back to, I think I was in third year when I found out I was pregnant.
Okay.
No, actually I was in fourth year, first trimester.
Okay.
Like in November. So I just started noticing my boobs became really big. And I was like, I think you just know. In your
something's
gut,
off.
You're like, I think this is it. I think I'll just have to test to prove it. So I went to town. I got myself those chips for 50 shillings. I tested, but it wasn't, you know, when someone tells you, I tested, but I was not sure. Like, the test was not, and then the test was not confirming anything. And you're like, how do you mess up a test? So it was one of those situations. I tested. So the control line was very thick. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very clear. There's a control line and then there's the one that says it's positive or not. So there's a control line that was very clear, but now the positive line was there, but not
so you were
so clear.
In denial,
so now I'm like, is it there or is it not there? What's happening? But now my boobs were bigger, so I started Googling. Of course, you start Googling, what are the symptoms?
Even as a medical student.
Yeah.
You forget.
You know this is it, but then you're like, maybe it could be something else. I'm hoping it's something else, but okay. So I started Googling, nini, and it's telling me, you could be pregnant. Have you started experiencing these other symptoms?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go to the hospital. I wanted to go and do the blood test. I didn't want to wait and be like, let me
your
just
period.
Wait and then for my period. Because at that time, the date for my next period had not yet reached.
Okay.
So this was before. So usually you wait until your period, and then once you miss your period, now you do your tests. But I was not willing to wait. So I went to the hospital. They did a blood test and they told me, it's positive. I'm pregnant. Boy. So, I don't know. I tell my friends this, and I don't know why it's weird, because I was not I was not stressed about it. I didn't even think about abortion at all. Like, I was just
shocked.
I know. I took for that and it's like, how? I don't know. I was not, I feel like I was already in the space where if you're having sex, you should expect some things. You can't not then abstain if you're not ready to have a kid, you know.
But people have been having sex for years and there's no baby,
Yeah, but you see, if you're using protection, then yeah. But if you're not using protection, what are you expecting? Amma, you're using safe days, maybe. Some people use the safe days.
Well, not everyone knows how to calculate that.
Exactly. That's the other thing. And it only works with regular periods. Mm-hmm. So I remember the doctor who was there, I went to Karen Hospital. He was so, I think he didn't understand where my mind was at, where the space I was at in. So he was like, should we call your parents? Are you okay?
You're 20-something.
I know.
What do you mean, my parents?
And I know. He's like, are you okay? Because he started asking me what I'm doing. Am I still in the university? And I'm like, yeah, I'm still in school. I'm in fourth year. So I think he was like, he has had experiences with teenagers or just young girls mm-hmm. coming and then not having to having issues talking to their parents. So I think he was just giving me that option of, if you're scared, we can talk to your parents with you. You know, you don't have to do this alone. So he's just like, it's okay, don't worry, you'll finish your school.
That's a nice doctor.
I know, he was so nice, he was so cool. So I'm like, no, I'm fine. So he tells me, I don't know, I think I was just like 3 weeks in. Okay, one thing about me, I do not like stressors. If I have stress or if I have something that is bothering me and I can solve it, I'd rather solve it there and then. If I cannot solve it, then I'll deal with it. Okay. I'll have to live with it. But if something, I'll solve it, that's okay. And then I've had a very amazing, amazing relationship with my parents. Wow. I come from a very, a very beautiful home. Mm-hmm. So I was not feeling like my parents will disown me, Amma, they'll chase me. It was just like, we'll have to talk. We'll talk it over and then figure out something. So I left the hospital. At the door, I called the baby daddy. I'm like, yo, it's positive. What are you saying? Mm-hmm. He's like, let's go with you because you're the one in school. Do you want to keep it? Or do you want to work?
When guys say that, are they really saying it genuinely?
Exactly.
Or are you just putting
to
it
put
on
it,
me?
Yeah, they have got to put it on you. They don't want to say so that now you're like, no, you're the one who said we remove and mm-hmm. I didn't want to. So they, but I feel like it should be like that. He should put that on the, because I'm the one carrying the child for 9 months. It is my life that is, I'm the one who's sorting everything out. I'm the one who's carrying the baby. So he was just like, you decide. So I'm like, okay. I'm keeping it. I'm not removing it. Okay. Immediately I hung up. Mm-hmm. I called my mom. I'm like, it was on a Friday. I'm like, I need to come home. We need to have a meeting.
Oh, wow.
Like, I didn't even stay. I left the hospital. I was like, mom, I need to come home. Send me fare. We need to have a meeting. So she's like, okay. She sent me fare. I traveled. It was on a Friday, like around 11. I left. I came, took a few things. I left. I went home. So the thing with my family, how it works, from way back when we were young, we talk about everything. Mm-hmm. We talk about everything. We talk about sex. We talk about contraceptive. We talk about boyfriends, marriage. With my mom and my dad, everything is.
At what age do you guys start discussing that?
At the age where they think you know where you're exposed to such things.
My typical Nigerian parents. Hell no.
You don't discuss about
I think
such
the
things?
Only time I had a sex conversation with my mom, mm-hmm. I thought I was going to go bang my head on a wall. It was so awful.
Uh-huh.
It was just like, if you have sex, you get pregnant, you abort, you die. That was it. And wow. I was like, what? Yeah, it was that terrible.
I don't know. Us, we've, and mind you, my parents were both pastors.
Oh, wow. Pastor's kid in the building.
Okay. So, but they were not, they were cool. The cool pastors, the cool pastors who, I got my phone, like my first phone when I was in class 6.
I need you to introduce me to your parents.
I know.
You can swap some, you know. Because
they're really cool. I don't know. They're those, you know, those best friend parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, those kinds of people. So we talk about everything. They'll tell you. They don't tell you the extremes of you'll die. You know.
Oh my god.
It's like, what do you want to know? What do you want to know about sex?
My dad is actually a doctor, but he has never sat down to have the sex conversation with me.
Yeah.
It's more like he still sees me as his baby. So, mm-hmm. as a baby, you don't have sex.
Yeah.
So, yes.
but parents should understand that if you're not getting the information from you, we are getting it from somewhere else. So would you rather we get it from you than? from the internet, from our friends.
Yeah.
Because when you're hanging out with friends, that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
And people have wrong information. Very. And we are holding on to them. So we discuss everything. So that's why it wasn't hard for me to go there. And then now the thing is, whenever we discuss about something, they want to know that you have seen, you have thought about everything, and what is your plan? What is it? That's what they want to know. Even when we are changing the color of the gate, we discuss as a family. It's not that dad is going to, we are seeing the color of the gate has changed the area. Like, no.
It's his money. You're telling, it's my money.
Yeah, it's my money. No, we sit down, we're like, yo, which colors do you think we should pick?
Mm-hmm.
I think we should pick this one because of this. And then now we come, we decide. So I went home. We had a meeting that night. My mom, my dad, my sister, we are only two. I'm the firstborn. So I'm like, I'm pregnant. I've decided I want to defer for a year.
Wow.
And I just hope that you guys will support me once I want to go back. And I'm not ready to share about the details of the baby's father. But I have told him and he has accepted the responsibility.
Okay, at that point, did they ever know you were in a relationship with someone since you guys were, like, so free with each other?
They knew I was in a relationship with someone. They knew. But they didn't know the details. It was just those random topics
I have a boyfriend.
Yeah, I have a boyfriend. Because they kept they were asking those things. Because we have, like, family days. Family Saturdays is a family day. So we have massive, like, the big breakfast. And then now it's like, hey, but tell us about your boyfriends. What's happening with your life? And then now you start talking. And then now they advise you. It's not like, I told you you should not be dating. What are you doing?
That's let me not call out some African parents.
I totally understand some African parents can be very, I don't know.
Extra. That's the word.
And it's like, when did you guys meet? You guys met at our age, when you were our age. So you're expecting us to be what?
They'll tell you they were ready for marriage. Or funny enough, it's funny how some African parents, they get kids before they get married.
Before they get married.
And obviously, because when you look at their wedding picture, it doesn't add up to your date, your birth date. And then you're like, explain to me. It's a mystery. Explain. It's quite funny though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they knew I was dating, but I don't think they knew I was having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they thought, because I'm a medical student, I'll know how to handle
yourself.
That. You know, I'll know how to handle myself. So it was, I said that, and then they were just like, okay, we are disappointed, but it's fine. We appreciate that you've come to us. We appreciate that you've come early to do this and this. So you see, for them, they wanted you to have... You say what you want. You don't come here and say, Mom, I'm pregnant. I don't know what to do. What do you mean you don't know what to do? What were you doing there?
You know, speaking of this whole reporting, you know, going to your parents to say you're pregnant, the first thing that would come to a normal child's head that doesn't have a very good relationship, or even if you have a very good relationship with your parents, is they'll pound you.
Yeah.
They'll beat you up till that baby comes out.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine, you know, some family actually would call the whole family meeting.
Yeah, family meeting.
The cousins, the grandma, the aunts, the sisters, and you're like, what are they doing here?
Yeah.
It's my pregnancy.
Yeah.
And then... the worst part is when you become an example to everyone now in the society. That's just very stigmatizing. It's not good.
Yeah.
They don't think about the consequences on your mental health, despite the fact that, yes, you've made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, do not make everything feel like the world is coming to an end.
Yeah.
You also got pregnant at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
You got pregnant when you're my age.
Mm-hmm.
My age. So you want to free. And then they start badging you on knowing who the father is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe their status, financial status. And then now, considering I'm a pastor's kid, so it's like, what are we going to
Some even
say?
Force you to marry the guy.
The guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for them, it was just like, okay, we respect your opinion. The fact that you've decided not to tell us about the father's child, but you've said, I mean, he has accepted, so that's fine. So then I traveled back, came and did the whole process of deferring, and then now I went home. That's how I told my parents. I mean, I didn't even say it.
And your siblings, how did they react to the news?
I think my sister was thrilled to some point because I was a good child.
Are you the first one?
Yeah, I'm the first one.
Oh my God.
I'm the first one and we are two. And now my sister is the one who's, I don't know, she does her own
stuff. She's a rebel.
Yeah, she's a rebel. But now me, I'm the good child.
Mm-hmm.
So at least for her, it was like, yes, at least
something. She slacks.
Something, I know, something. At least my parents won't be on my ass the whole time. Mm-hmm. At least she has done something wrong. So that was, I think that was what was going through her mind.
Did your parents feel like you were setting a bad example for her since she is your sibling?
I don't know. Maybe, but they didn't tell me that. I feel like they had their moments of crying and hating on and being angry, but inside their room. But when they got out and met me, they didn't show me that side. It was like, we're here for you. Yeah. But they did they argued maybe, but in their room. But when they met me, they didn't show me the, what were you doing? What were you thinking? You saw, they didn't do that to me.
And there was no blame game. You see how when a child gets pregnant, it's the mother's fault.
It's the mother's fault. There might be a blame game, but inside closed doors. I didn't know. You see, they were not shouting or arguing in front of me. Mm-hmm. There was no discussion on that. It was the whole thing, what I know from them, it was, it's okay, you can do this, we'll do it together. It's fine.
Okay, so you've been a pastor's kid.
Yeah.
How did the church take it? Because you know how the church has those extra gossip squads, especially the women. I'm sorry, I'm a woman, but we own that thing. You know how they're like, oh, the pastor's child is pregnant. You know how people say the devil try gets the pastor's kids.
Yeah.
Were there any like shaming, any stereotyping from other women and other kids in church and all that stuff?
Well, I think based on how I've described my parents, they were very different from the rest of the pastors. How the other pastors were pastoring their family was totally different. Like some of the elders were not allowing their kids to watch television, such things. Like they can't come, the girls can't come wearing just some kind of dresses or trousers. But you see, the way we were brought up with my parents, it was like, we don't care about anyone. It is us. It is
my family.
It is my family. Mm-hmm. So they were not bothered at all at what will people say, what will... Let them say. In fact, they are the ones who are telling me, no, I hope you're not worried about what people will say. And I hope you're not planning to not go to church anymore because you're pregnant. You go. It is you and your God. So I used to wear these bodycons. Bodycons. My belly was so huge.
Okay.
And I was the only one who was like... And then I used to go to a youth church.
Okay.
So I'm the only one who's pregnant, of course. And I am not hiding. I am wearing a bodycon. And I want to walk. And I'm walking very slowly when I'm going to give my offering. I'm walking very so that everyone in the church can see me. Everyone in the church can see what this is a girl who's pregnant. So I feel like if they had issues, later on I came to find out that some of the pastors were not so nice in their conversations. But I feel like they had to hide it because of the way I came out. I was not hiding. If I were hiding, the mamas would have come at me and be like, no, you should not do this and we should not be seeing you because what are you trying to show? This is the type of church where you're coming here with your pregnancy. Now it's like you're advocating for other ladies too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But because I came with a like, you know what? I'm still a child of God.
Okay.
And
you're
not going to bother me. Mm-hmm. I'm still coming to pray. So I feel like they were shocked. And then it was like, let her do that. Because they also planned a baby shower for me, the church. They planned.
Wow. Your church planned a baby. Please.
I was so shocked.
What?
The church planned a whole baby shower for me, Christy. Like all the females. People I don't, like I only knew one person, one girl. But like everyone was coming, people even know me. They're like, Masi, we have come to you. They came to my house. They bought me so much. My pregnancy, I think my pregnancy, the whole thing was not bad. It wasn't bad.
It's like a blessing.
Yeah.
Having people to support you that much.
Yeah.
Like
I had so much support. Even my classmates from the class I was in, they traveled all the way to Nairobi to do a baby shower for me.
What?
My God. I was so... I don't know. I was so overwhelmed. It was amazing. I had support.
That's really nice.
a bad pregnancy. Yeah.
So let's go back to your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
How did he support you throughout the whole journey of your pregnancy journey? Was he there for you? Was he always coming to check on you? Did your parents see him at any point? How was the whole thing? Him being in the picture. Yeah.
So the fact that I didn't tell my parents who he was because my parents had seen him. Like way, way back, they saw me with him way back, like 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom had said, I hope I don't see you with this one again. Like my mom had told me that.
Oh,
so that's the reason why I didn't want to say who it was
that
time. Cause I was just like, let me wait until the time when there's nothing else to do. Let me just wait. So, we used to see each other, but only on Sundays because I never used to leave my house. I was just chilling. So on Sunday was the day that I was allowed to, I used to go to church. So after church, he would come pick me and then we would go for dates and whatever. But he was supportive, but not physically, because I was still staying at home. Yeah. So it was just like through phone calls, checking up on me. And then Sundays is the day we used to like hang out together. Yeah.
So now that we've talked about the whole journey of your pregnancy, let's talk about the changes during pregnancy. As a medical student, I feel like I'm so traumatized, extremely traumatized when it comes to pregnancy. Like, you know, the whole things you read, the back pains, the hair changes, the belly, the stretch marks, every single thing that happens. What did you experience and how was it for you? You know, people say, oh my God, I want to enjoy my youth days and, you know, not go through that whole phase. But you're not going through that, because I've seen lots of images online, women showing their bellies. The color is different from their abdomen, from their normal skin. Yeah. It's wrinkled, it's you know, wrinkling, and the stretch marks and all that. How did you go through the whole process of the changes your body was going through?
Well, first trimester was the worst. Because in first trimester, that's when I used to have like morning, like nausea the whole day. It wasn't just morning sickness. It's on, it's on. As soon as you open your eyes, you're feeling nauseated.
Oh my God.
So you have to keep using lemon. I don't know. I had trouble eating. It was, fatigue was there. I was just not feeling it. I think that's another reason why I decided to just defer, because I felt like another time I was staying with two of my friends. So I felt like I was becoming, I didn't want to become a burden to them, because now I'm not doing the chores that I used to do. Plus, I think I had, my blood was not enough. So I kept fainting.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. So I was like, I just need to be home. So first trimester was crazy because just of the nausea. Second trimester was chilled. Things are okay. Going for ultrasounds, photos, baby. It was amazing. Second trimester was good. Third trimester, however, you get back pains. Your baby is lying on your bladder, so you keep going to the loo all the time. And then, I don't know, you're always thirsty. Always thirsty. So you're taking a lot of water and then you keep going to the loo. You have backache. There's no position that is right for you to sleep. You have to sleep with pillows. I don't know, you're putting how many pillows for you to sleep. Yeah, so that was a problem. But other than that, I think it was okay. But then the other thing that really changed, apart from like physical, was mental. Like immediately I just found out I was pregnant. Like my mind just, I don't know, something just clicked. So it's like, okay, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to stop this, leave this person. Like, we are done with some things, we are not doing some things. Like, it's just, you're focused on, now I have a kid who's coming, now I need to be a mother. Now I need to put my things in order. Now I need to be more focused. So, your mental changes a lot. It changes a lot.
So, did you lose friends in the process during your pregnancy?
Not really, because all my friends were very supportive. All my friends.
Did I didn't... you support your friends?
I don't know. I've just had, I think I've had the privilege of having amazing people in my life. I've never met someone who's just bad, someone who's mean to me. My friends were very good. All my friends home and here in school, all my friends were very good, very supportive. So I didn't lose anyone. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, I've seen crazy experiences online from things I've watched that when you give birth to a baby, there's this whole thing of the healing process, because I've seen some traditions, like in my country, for example, where they make women sit on hot water.
Yeah.
You did all of that.
Yeah.
Can you just tell us the whole healing process? Because I'm just like, how am I supposed to sit on hot water?
Well, it's not okay. Before my delivery, I was at home the whole time, and I never used to do anything. So I was on YouTube a lot, and I Googled and YouTubed everyone. I think I watched everyone who was pregnant at some point, and all the birth stories and what to expect. So in my mind, I was expecting the worst of the worst. But luckily, or maybe because I was expecting the worst, the things that happened to me were like, it was okay for me. Because I was expecting, like, after delivery, I'll have to sit on that sit bath. It's water, hot, like warm hot, water.
Not hot.
No, not hot.
They put hot water.
But how will you see it if it's hot?
Like, I've heard how some women actually complain of sitting very hot, burning hot water. Then you add some, maybe, I don't know, salt. And yeah. Like, you know how salt, but when you put salt on it and an injury, it burns. I'm like, how?
Yeah. I had to do that. Okay, maybe it was hot. I don't know.
Oh, it was just warm.
But it's not warm, but not as hot, not boiling hot.
Okay.
Just up or in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So you sit on that water. But you see, mine, I had a tear. I had a tear when I was giving birth.
Hey, mercy, please. So, I'm getting more traumatized. Can you continue?
But imagine all that got healed within a week. Like within the first week of me delivering, everything was back to normal. Like the suture that I had already, it was done. I went back to the hospital to be checked. Everything was okay. The pain was done. The injury was done. So you sitting on that sitz bath is what helps with the healing. So the more you sit, the better for
you. So how often were you sitting in
that? I was sitting like thrice in the morning, at lunchtime, and in the evening. So if you want to heal faster, you have to do this. But because if you just do it once, it takes longer. And if you don't do it, it also takes longer. So I was doing it like in the morning, at lunchtime, in the evening. I was doing that. So within a week, everything was okay.
Okay, so how was your childbirth experience? The whole pushing and the first time you had your eyes on your child? And was the father there during the day of the delivery?
My birth story was amazing. I tell this to everyone who has given birth and they're like, Masi, we hate you because how? Why? Because during my pregnancy, I was sitting, I had a specific seat that I used to sit in the house and watch and eat fries and soda every day. That was the thing I never ate anything for 9 months.
Besides fries and soda.
Fries and soda.
The crazy cravings.
Fries and soda. That was what I was having. And then I was not exercising. So I had read a lot and then YouTubed a lot and then just mothers and aunties telling me, hiya, you just sit there. You'll see your bath is going to be very hectic because you're not exercising and then you're not eating healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, fast forward to the day of delivery. My baby came on the EDD. Like her expected date, she came on that day. She didn't come earlier, she didn't come later. But by that time, you're so exhausted. You're like, come out. I want you out. You want them to come even earlier. So she came on that day, her exact date. It was on a Monday. My mom had gone to work. So she comes back in the evening by like 6:30. She's like, Masi, how are you feeling? Have you started experiencing cramps or anything? I had started experiencing cramps, but they were not as massive as I thought. Because from what I was seeing and people describing their childbirth, people are like, hey, it starts with cramps, then it increases, and then it's intolerable pain.
Okay.
So me, I was waiting for the intolerable pain. That was what I was waiting for, so that I can tell people, excuse me, I think it's time for us to go to the hospital.
Okay.
Because I was just feeling the normal cramps, and I usually have cramps when I'm menstruating.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom comes in, she's like, what's happening? I'm like, it's nothing, it's just cramps. Okay. So she's like, no, let's just go to the hospital so that you just checked, just in case. And then if there's nothing, we can come back home.
Wow, my mom is nice.
I have amazing parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the bathroom. And when I was in the bathroom, that's when my mucus plug got, like, I saw my mucus plug. So I'm like, okay, but I'm not feeling the pain. Because from what I've heard, you should feel the extreme pain, then the mucus plug. And then now you know now you're starting to dilate. So now the mucus plug comes out and then I'm like, Mom, my mucus plug is out. Okay, let's go. We are just slowly. We are not even in a hurry. We get into the car. We leave, but you see now, that time it's 7, I can't call the baby daddy, but I was told he came back. But then again, I went to a public hospital.
Okay.
And in public hospitals in Kenya, the man is not allowed to be with you.
Why?
When you're delivering. I don't know, I don't know whether it's space. I don't understand, but they're not allowed to be inside. If it were private, you're there. You can hold your woman until she gives birth. But public, no. You just come see them when it's visiting hours.
Okay.
So you leave at 7. By 7:30, you were already in the hospital. We get to the hospital, so that nurse tells me, come up, we need to test you. So I had, again, researched on how painful it is when they want to test your dilatation. So I was expecting for this pain, that intolerable pain. So I'm lying there, this man just inserts his hands. I'm feeling nothing, like I'm like, okay. He removes his hand, he's like, this one is at 9 centimeters. I'm like,
wow.
What? Where is the pain that I'm waiting for? Where is the pain? He's like, this one is at 9 centimeters. Go and lie at the bed. Then you can start. You're about to deliver, so you need to find a bed. So I move my mom there. We are going because we had not even planned to stay on staying. My mom is being told you need to go get her bucket. I don't know, cotton wool, slippers, because she's going to like sleep overnight. So my mom chucks to go to the nearby shops. By the time she was coming back, I'd already delivered.
Wow.
Because when I left that man saying, I don't know, she's at 9 centimeters. Mm-hmm. I leave, I go, I climbed the bed. Once I climbed the bed, now I felt like pooping. You feel like you want to poop.
Oh,
you
my
feel
God.
Like you want to push. So now it's a public hospital and then it's at night, which means there's understaffing. And mm-hmm. then the people who are there, most of them are students.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to get help, you need to shout. You need to be there. The loudest one for them to hear you. You can't just be there quiet.
Attention.
You need to seek attention because people are very few. The nurses were like 3 and they're catering to like 50 of us. So someone is giving birth in that room, another one is giving birth in the other room. So you need to like make some noise for them to hear you. So I was like, I feel like this person is coming. She started screaming. So the nurse comes in. He was a student. I could tell he was a student because he didn't know what to do. He was like, what do we do?
Reminds me of me.
I know. You're like, now what do? And then there was only one like superior in charge nurse who was dealing with someone else. Because I remember where I was. I was in the bed in the middle. And then there were 2 beds beside me. These 2 women, none of them were pregnant. Like, I think one of them had lost a kid. The other one maybe had delivered, but the kid died. Because they were both crying. Like, they were just crying, but they were in their own zone. So the nurse comes in, then he's like, okay, how are you feeling? Don't scream, just push slowly. Are you feeling like you want to poop? I'm like, yeah. So I try to push, the baby is not coming out. So he says, let me go get the instruments so that I can come and like cut.
Mm-hmm.
But he had not even left. By the time he was like leaving, I had now the water broke. Like the water broke and then the baby came out. Like she came out with the water. Like it was, she was swimming. Like she came out, she's the one who burst the water, because I had read and researched, the water starts dripping and then you wait, and then now you wait
it's
for
not
like
the same
an
for
hour.
Every woman.
Yeah. So the same, but now I was not expecting to be that easy that fast because I was not in pain. No, the pain was after delivery of the baby. Oh my God, it is so painful. The removal of the placenta, you know, they are pushing. Mm-hmm. They are, oh my God. And then they insert something inside there so that they can clean. Oh, that was the most painful thing I've ever had to endure. That was very painful. And of course the suturing, because again I was in a public hospital. I don't know whether they don't have lidocaine or what was happening, because I was still feeling like I was feeling pain when he was trying to suture. Okay, back to me holding my baby. When I hold the baby, I didn't get the feeling that everyone gets, the I love this human being.
Oh my God,
I
would protect you.
You're
forever.
So beautiful. I was just like, this is a stranger. Like, I don't know you. Like, what? I don't know. I didn't get that. I didn't get the mommy feeling. I didn't get the wow. No. I was just like, this is a stranger. And she feels like she wants to feed, because she immediately got her, she was like. So now I'm like, okay. So she wants to feed. So I had to go. They had to go do some tests on her. Then I had to go clean up and I don't know, take a shower, then come back, and then I'll hold my baby. But now again, I was in a public hospital. In a public hospital, there's a sitting area before you guys are taken to your rooms. And then I don't know whether it's the laziness of the nurses or what happens, but they want to wait until you guys are a lot so that they can take all of you at the same time. Not just that if you're the only one who has given birth, they want to take you. So I had to sit in a hard bench, and I've just been sutured, and you're sitting there with your kid, and other people are there with their kids, and then you know you cannot leave your kid there because you don't know what can happen to your kid. Someone can come and steal your child. So you're just sitting there watching her. The thing that I did, I kept watching her, because I don't know, when the kids are born, they have episodes of like apnea, like they stop
breathing.
So you have to keep, you're like, what's happening? Is she still breathing? Okay. Is she still breathing? Okay. So yeah, eventually you were taken to the rooms. I didn't have milk for the first, I don't know, 3 days. So my baby was just crying. She's crying because I don't have any milk. But then we left the next day. The next day was when we were leaving, and that's the first time that the dad met
the baby.
Yeah. So it was interesting because within one week I had healed. But now the whole change that comes with having a baby, you feel like you get into postpartum depression. It's
lot. I've actually heard lots of women get really depressed. Like, when you're not producing milk, you feel like you're not being a good mom.
Yeah,
and
it's
stuff.
True. You feel like you're not being a good mom. Mm-hmm. And then there's so much to do because now your cycle is changing. And then the baby's cycle, they're usually active at night. So at night is when she's awake. And now at night, based on how you have been, that's the time you want to sleep. But now the baby sleeps during the day. And then now that's when you're told, Ati, when the baby sleeps, you should be sleeping. But now you can't, you know, you can't switch your clock on and be like, okay, now I want to sleep because the baby's sleeping. It doesn't work that way. So now during the day, you're up. Sometimes cleaning the baby's clothes. And then during the night, that's when now she's up and she keeps feeding. So she feeds for like an hour. You put her down. And then now you, by the time you're drifting off, because now you try to drift off, 1 hour later, by the time you're now getting into the zone, she's up. She needs feeding again. So you're like a zombie. You're there. The baby needs to feed. And I had so much help, but I was still feeling like it was too much. But so I can only imagine for the mothers who do it alone, who are just like the baby daddy left them or they're in the house alone. I can only imagine because I had so much help. When the baby just cried a little bit, people were there in my room, everyone, let's hold the baby, bring the baby, everyone has to hold the baby. So I was having time to relax, but it was, yeah.
So felt like it was too much for you?
Yeah, I felt like it was just a lot, it was too much. But it has its ups and downs, but the ups surpass the lows, yeah.
Okay, do you agree with this thing? Okay, a woman gives birth to a baby, she goes through the whole pain, she goes through the whole, you know, struggle and taking care of the kid, breastfeeding. But when people come to say hi, they say hi to the father.
Mm-hmm.
And they also say, oh my God, baby is cute. No one thinks of checking up on you. No one thinks of giving you a gift for saying, oh my God. Everyone just brings gifts for the baby. And people, okay, in my country, we do this thing where we have a naming ceremony. I think after 7 days or so, people come, see them hailing the father, oh, good work, blah, blah, blah. They bring gifts for the, they give the father money, they give the child cash, dresses. But the mother is like, hey, how are you? Mm-hmm. No one cares to know how you're doing. No one brings you a gift. Yeah. No one wants to, you know, make you feel like, oh my God, you did a very good job. Uh-huh. It's not easy. How do you feel about, did you experience such a thing of people just only saying hi to the baby and just making you feel like, oh, it's a normal thing for you as a woman, so don't worry, that's your job.
Well, my case was different because, again, I was still at home. You see, so when people came to see me, they saw me. They didn't see the father's, the baby's dad. So they saw me. And then all the people who came to see me, all my friends, none of them has a child. So all of them feel like they're traumatized, like you said. They feel like, hey, how is pregnancy?
Yeah.
So I feel like they came to me with the appreciation of, wow, you've done it. Like, how? Like, what's happening? So I don't know. I think I just had very good, I don't know. Help. I need to experience that.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Because I'm just like, yeah, I think people need to also show the mother some love. Because
it's true.
It's not easy.
At all. It's not easy.
Not at all. Like I said, very traumatizing. If you're actually a medical student, it just adds the fuel to the fire. Yeah. It's already a burning fire, but it just makes everything worse.
Mm-hmm.
So now talk about your journey through motherhood, having your baby, the love.
The love.
You know, having someone you can call, oh my God, this is my baby.
I know.
She came out from me.
I know. It's amazing. I don't know. You unlock a new level of love that you have never felt in your entire life. And then you also unlock a new level of understanding and friendship with your parents, because now you have a child of your own. Now you start getting, wow, how did you guys raise us? How did you do it? And then we've been disturbing, and then we've been rebellious, and you guys just did it with that calmness. You start appreciating them. You start seeing your parents in a whole new level. You start appreciating them. And then the one disadvantage that I felt, that I feel, is the constant worry for your child. It's constant worry. How is she doing that right now? If I'm giving her milk, will she choke? If I leave her on the bed, will she fall down? When she starts walking, is she going to hit some things? Okay. They get to that situation that they're picking everything from down. So it's like, what if she picks something and then she chokes and then she dies? What if she goes out? Okay, now she started going out and playing with people. So what if people bully her? What if people tell her she's not pretty? What if someone kidnaps her? What if she gets involved in an accident? What if she disappears? As in, this constant worry. How will her future be? Which school will she go in? What career will she take? Will she get good friends like me? Will she get a good boyfriend? Is she going to be in an abusive relationship? Like, you think about all those things, and then you think about the world, and then you're like, oh God. Yeah. Oh God, please, please.
Protect her.
Hey, you're constantly worried. That constant worry is what had made me say, like, at this point in my life, I'm like, I don't want to have any other child. Because I cannot imagine being stressed for like three children, constantly worrying for three whole different human beings who are in different species. I cannot. It's just too much to bear. So, but it's good. It's amazing. But now the other thing that people need to know about motherhood is it entails everything, the things that we are not told about. Like now, for example, since primary and high school and just people giving advices to girls, they'll say, don't get pregnant because your life will like end. You will stop going to school and then the guy still goes
to school. Yeah.
So you're told about those things. Those things don't even matter. Those things are just the tip of the ice. They're nothing, literally. The things they don't tell you is how expensive these human beings are.
I was actually going to get there. I was.
Oh, my God. Finances, mental, emotional, because you have to be emotionally prepared. You have to be spiritually prepared. You have to be psychologically prepared, because this is a whole human being that is in your care, that you need to raise in a manner that is better than you were raised in. You need to instill the confidence in them, the being kind to other people, the having a heart of gratitude. Creating someone to be a good human being and you're not prepared mentally is going to be very hard. You see, so there's the emotional part of them disobeying you, and then you have to learn patience because they're your children, and then you have to learn understanding plus discipline, and then couple them all together, and then there's a whole other human being you're dealing with, the baby's dad, who you're all from different backgrounds, so you're all disagreeing on literally everything. Because I'm the child one, I'm like, see, she's playing. But then again, I'm the paranoid mom. I'm the one who's like, no, don't give her that, she'll choke. don't do that. She should not be living out without any, like, people should be going out with her. If she's going out to play, I have to be there. Like, I'm constantly watching. If she's running, I want to run. Like, I'm running behind her in case she falls, I want to hold her. But now, the dad is like, just leave, let the child be, let her be a child, let her enjoy. When it comes to discipline, you're going to disagree, because you're going to be like, me, I'm going to beat her. But then the dad is like, no, you don't have to beat her for her to understand that. You see, you're coming from totally different backgrounds, trying to bring up a whole human being. You're both disagreeing on the type of schools they go to, because I was raised in a totally different family from him. So it's a lot that people don't think about, because when you get a baby, that's when now you see the bills that you have to pay.
Yeah, the diapers are very expensive.
Oh,
I even saw the price of Cerelac and I'm like, what is this? Because as an adult, I shamelessly take it. So
so expensive. Pampers, I think they go for 1,200, like 40 pieces. And she uses them within 2 weeks. And then I didn't have enough milk for her, so she had to supplement with formula. Baby formula goes for 1,500. The 1,500 one will last 4 days.
4 days.
4 days.
For $14, for those who don't know, that's $14.
$14 for 4 days. So you're,
as an adult, I don't even spend up to that.
Exactly.
For food.
So within a week, you've used like $28 only on formula. You have not dealt with diapers, and then they keep growing, which means they keep outgrowing the clothes that they are in. So you need to keep buying new clothes. And then now when they get to the age of 6 months, now the bills become even more. Because at that point they are eating. So you need to buy flour for Nini, for porridge. You need to, again, get clothes. You need to now get the bananas, I don't know, mixed with what type of boga, vegetables. Like, these human beings.
Yeah, they're so tiny, but they consume a lot.
They consume a lot. So if you're not financially stable, it can really drain you. And then at least at that point, I sort of a little bit understand the males who leave the pregnant.
Now you're supporting toxic men.
You're
advocating.
No,
toxic
I don't.
Men.
I don't advocate.
Are you trying to speak for them?
No, I don't advocate. It's just that I totally. You see, like for example, before when we were dating with the baby's dad, he was getting like 10 G's. Okay, 10 G's a month. 10 G's when it's just you and me, we can handle it. Mm-hmm. You see, it's just, we actually feel like we are enjoying life because there's no other person who's there. And then you can eat whatever because you're, again, you're adults and you can understand. Mm-hmm. But now, and again, it was 10,000 minus now the rent. Okay, mm-hmm. So now you two bring a child inside. So now this child needs formula for $28 and the Pampers for $15 a week. Okay?
Oh boy.
The 10,000 that you guys were enjoying is no longer there. So how is he going? How is he eating now? Mm. How are you eating? How is the baby now eating? So now you see now the difference between our guys and us girls. Girls, women, we are like, we can do this. You know what? We will drink the water. We will boil the water and drink the water. We'll do this. We'll manage. But now the guy says, shoot, I can't provide. What will I do? They shut down. It's just, shoot, I'm done. I can't do this. They don't think of, no, it's okay. I'll go borrow flour from this woman and then make uji. Even if she's not 6 months yet, I'll make uji for her. They don't think of that. They just, so that's the difference.
Okay, so how did you guys walk through the finance aspect? And as parents, were they really supportive of the whole pregnancy too, besides him as a person?
Oh, yeah, the parents were supportive because they came, the family came before I gave birth. They came to see my parents and sort of say that their boy is the one who is responsible
for
the pregnancy. So, yeah. The parents were very supportive. So now how we've dealt with the finances is we get a lot of help from both our parents. My parents do a lot of work because they're the ones who are currently staying with Zara. So they give. And also his parents, they chip in.
Okay, yeah. So Zara, how did you come up with the name Zara? Was it just you alone or you guys came together and you're like, oh yes, let's just name her Zara. That's a very nice name actually. I love the name Zara.
Thank you. So before she was born, we started thinking about names. But we were not agreeing. Every time I remove a name, he's like, I don't like it. He suggests a name, I'm like, I don't like it. So once she was born, before she was born, we had a name. Like we knew if it was going to be a girl, she'll be called Rede. If it was to be a guy, he'll be called Lyric. But now, I don't know what happened because after she was born, we didn't have a name. So when we went home, and then when I left the hospital and I went home, I found my family there. They had cooked. Like it was like, you're coming, welcome back home, our daughter. Congratulations. It was like a small party. So people are holding the baby, but now they don't know what to call her because now you see they're just holding her and then they're like, baby. So my mom is like, can you guys give this human being a name? Because what are we going to call her? So at that point, the whole family was like involved looking for a name. We're like, okay, what do we call her? But I liked the name Taraji because I was at that point in my life, I was obsessed with Taraji P. Henson. I was obsessed with her. So I liked that name. I searched, I googled it. It was like, it means hope in Kiswahili.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like,
it's a Swahili name.
Yeah, it's a Swahili name.
That's so nice.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so we have Taraji. What's the first name? So we are like, Amma, we call her Zara. Zara meaning princess. Aww. So my mom was there. So my mom is like, oh, so she'll be like the princess of hope. We are like, yeah. By the way.
Mommy has lies.
I know. We're like, we didn't even think of that. But it's like, yes. Yes, that's the one we're going with. So that's how we came up with Zara Taraji. Then Yanga. Yanga is her dad's name. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a really nice way to come up with a name. Because let's be factual. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to pick sides. But guys give very terrible names.
I know.
Very. Guys, I don't know how some men just think of names. But
I know. Their names are very bad.
Very. Horrible.
And I don't know where in their minds they think that this is it. Like, this is the name I want my child to be called. And I'm like, no, we are not doing that.
So what would you advise anyone out there, a young pregnant mom who is trying to figure out what to do? Maybe she doesn't know if she's going to keep the baby or she's going to abort the baby. Or someone that is still thinking of, you know, how to raise a kid. I've seen someone go into postpartum depression. It's not cute.
It's not.
Not cute. There's so many things that come with pregnancy. It's not depression. It's psychosis.
Yeah.
Like, so many crazy stuff. And people don't know how it feels because, you know, men can't really put themselves in your shoes. Mm-hmm. Even if they're there to support you. Yeah. So what advice would you give any young mom out there dealing to things? Dealing with a lot of things, like postpartum depression. They don't know how to care for their kids. A single young mom who doesn't even know how to go about life and all that stuff.
First of all, starting with the young girls who are not yet pregnant. Do not get pregnant when you're young.
Okay. So, are you saying don't have sex?
Do not have sex. But if it is a must, you have sex. Kindly protect yourself. Protect yourself. Because motherhood is not, it's not something to joke with. Like, this is a whole human being you're trying to raise. And if you're not mentally stable, emotionally stable, because again, dealing with fathers who are have, for example, run away, or just some of dads are just pure havoc. They just want to destroy your life. Like, they do not provide, but they want to come see the baby. Or they can't take your baby. One day, you've refused for them to come see the baby because, again, they're not providing. And then this man just comes and sees the baby playing, and then they take the baby, and then they go with the baby. And then you have to involve the court, you have to involve the police. It's just a lot. And then, again, you have to think about everything else after that. Because if, like, for example, I do not end up with the baby's dad, then, again, I have to be to find a whole human being who will love me plus love my baby, which is very hard. For you to get a man who will take the two of you.
And then men know how to sugarcoat. They can make you believe.
Exactly. But then I feel like sometimes they think they love both of you. Mm-hmm. But then immediately they get their own child. The love surpasses. It's just normal human behavior. I don't think I would be in a position where I would love someone else's kid more than I love Zara. It can't happen. I can try to treat them the same, but the love is not usually the same. So, again, you have to think about all these things. Some people go to court, some people go to... It's a lot. If you're still young, kindly do not. And if you do not have the money, please find the money first, then get the child.
Especially right now, everything is so expensive.
Exactly. Everything is so expensive. And then sometimes I feel like when I was going to break my news to my parents, I did not think about them. Which was very selfish of me. I did not think about them. Because I was just like, they'll be cool. But you see now, I've left everything to them. I'm still in school. So they're the ones who are providing. And they're still providing for me. They still have their own children. My sister. And then I've added someone else during the corona time. So it's like, what? What were you... What? You see, you have to think about everything. Think about everything before you start having sex. Unprotected sex. Think about everything that is involved. Okay, you might get pregnant. So, the decision to whether to keep it or not keep it. I feel like...
That's
a very
controversial topic.
Yeah, it's very controversial. But I think just do it for you. I will not encourage someone to keep a baby because they're saying it's a taboo to abort or they just don't want... Because we see so many people so many young people who have kids and those kids, they're badly off. Like, no one is taking care of them. You see, because the mom didn't want them in the first place. And it's not like the motherly instinct kicks in everyone. It doesn't. Not everyone is supposed to be a mom, by the way. Not everyone is supposed
to
be a mom.
I agree. Honestly, I agree.
Yeah.
I really do agree.
So you come here and then now you've given birth to someone and then you're not motherly at all. The kid is just there. Nothing. You're giving the child nothing. So, but then don't make it a habit. Like, you cannot keep... removing babies out here and then thinking it's not okay. Mm-hmm. It's not okay. So seek contraceptives. Okay. Just go
do what
and
works for you.
Yeah, do what works for you, but do your research and go to a doctor.
There's some people that believe if you're telling young women to get contraceptives, you're encouraging them to have sex.
No, but you see what? I'm not encouraging them to have sex. They are having sex, aren't they?
They are actually.
They are. Mm-hmm. Whether we say don't have sex or have sex, people out here are having sex. So what we can do is urge them to take contraceptives. Like, I feel like this should be, a life skill subject in primary. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot, what do you expect people to do? Because in the university, campus.
It's terrible out here.
Worse. we can try to pretend like this is not happening, but it's happening. So go get a contraceptive. Don't be going out here getting babies and then aborting them.
Yeah.
Or going around and sleeping around with, I don't know, different people. Just get a contraceptive. Go to Mary Stops.
And I feel like don't be ashamed to go to any clinic. You know, this evil judgmental looks mm-hmm. those pharmacy guys give you. Don't be ashamed. Go buy your condoms. Because at the end of the day, they're not the ones receiving the backlash. It's all on you. You're exactly. the one going through it all. So please. And if you can't go, get a friend that can go. Or your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because it's a joint effort.
In fact, I feel like, there's a time I was so pissed off with my boyfriend. Because I was like, we cannot be having sex. And you don't know how much postinator took us.
He doesn't know.
At that time, he didn't know. So I'm like, what are we doing? What is this? Like, mm-hmm. what is this? If you're both in a relationship, the man needs to be accountable. The man needs to know. You're not supposed to take postinator too. Like, I don't know, twice in a week.
If you're ovulating,
If you're ovulating, what's the point? You see, you both need to discuss, okay, this is where we are at. This is the relationship we are in. We are actively having sex. So what are we doing to prohibit us not getting pregnant? It should not be only on the female to figure out.
True.
Because now it's us, now we are supposed to be like...
You're both doing it.
Yeah, we're both doing it. We're in this together. So he should be there knowing how much a postinator 2 costs. And knowing, before we start doing it, babe, do you have the money to buy the P2? Because it's 150. 150 shillings.
If you're sleeping in a guy that doesn't have 150 shillings, then please stop. Just stop it.
Exactly.
Because if you get pregnant, you can't afford a baby. Exactly. And if you can't afford postinator 2.
Stop it. And pampers for please 1,000.
Stop it. Just stop. You're wasting your time. Just stop it. Only if you can afford it.
Yeah.
Personally. But if the man cannot afford, please stop.
If the man cannot
it,
afford postinator 2 for 150 shillings.
Yeah.
And then he's there telling you, babe, don't worry, if we get a baby, I'm here for you. You're here for me, how? How?
And don't you think people would say it's contradicting the fact that you are a Christian? Like, for me, people tell me you're a Christian, you're supposed to be preaching abstinence. Mm-hmm. But then again, we are in the medical profession and we see these things.
Yeah.
People don't understand that not everyone is a Christian. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has a religion. Yeah. And even if, as much as people have their religions, people mm-hmm. still have their personal beliefs. You're just there to help people not take also the wrong decisions.
Yeah.
And, you know, just go through the right part at least. But people don't understand that. I'm not advocating for premarital sex.
Yeah.
It's up to you to decide what you want.
Yeah.
But do not put it on me like I'm preaching and I'm ringing the bells.
Yeah.
Or, oh, do this, do that. It's your choice at the end of the day. It's not mine.
Yeah. Yeah. So people need to be careful on that.
Very. So, I carry them.
Because, again, also abortion is very expensive.
Very.
Really?
Okay, but I'm not advocating for abortion.
Yeah.
Because it's actually illegal.
Yeah.
So yes.
It's illegal.
Yeah, it is illegal. Please don't use Ampiclorax. Please don't use salt. When someone tells you drink a whole bunch of salt,
mm-hmm.
or someone tells you to use anti-ulcer drugs, you're just doing nothing.
Yeah.
You're just wasting your time.
Yeah. But before now you get to that point, mm-hmm. just protect yourself. Then abstain. It's also okay to abstain.
Maybe condoms are cheap. Some condoms are
condoms
free.
Some are free. Yeah,
if you go to some
free
public places, they for free. Pick as many as you want.
Yeah.
Share with your friends, your cousins. Stop. It does basically, you're not only stopping on like unwanted pregnancy or planned pregnancy, you're also preventing yourself from getting diseases. Because people have cervical cancer these days.
Yeah.
Guys don't even know. Guys are not educated on this stuff. I think we'd have a sex education talk on this podcast some other days. So, yeah.
So people need to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. People need to think about everything else. And for those who are already pregnant, and I don't know, they're undergoing... Okay, then there are those people who are pregnant and they're not in good terms with their parents. And probably they don't have any support. I don't know. I just like to say I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm very, very sorry for that you're going through that alone. But you can do it.
You can do it.
It's not easy at all, but it's possible. It's possible for you to manage. But then just ask for help. Ask for help. Even the ones who postpartum depression, most of them don't ask for help, because it's like, if I ask for help, it looks like I'm not a good mother, or it looks like I'm weak at being a mother. But everyone goes through that. I went through that and I had 10 people around me constantly wanting to hold the baby, constantly wanting to help in me. I didn't wash. I was not even washing my clothes. I was not even feeding the baby. I was just being brought for her breastfeeding, and then she goes. But I was still feeling like it was too much. So don't feel like it's bad for you to ask for help. Just ask for help, and get friends who can support you. Good friends.
Not friends that would just go behind your back and start back, oh my gosh, she got pregnant. You know, some friends are like that. Very petty.
Yeah.
Petty beans.
Hey, thank God I just hear that from stories. I've never experienced that in my life. I don't know. Or if they talk about it, they don't. I've never had them do that. Yeah. So get supportive, people. But you can do it.
You had unprotected sex, please don't wait to see your period. Try and, you know, notice things. Don't wait till, oh my god, my period is gonna come. Some people actually wait for 6 whole months.
What?
Like, what are you waiting for 6 months?
And the belly is period? The belly not the stomach is.
Have
not
you
clean?
Had these days? They're invincible pregnancies.
Yeah,
so
I've
been seeing
that
on Twitter lately, like pregnancies just out there in the air. People are not even figuring out they're pregnant, just leaving their. I'm like, I'm sure there's a sign.
There's a sign.
There's definitely a sign.
Yeah.
Unless science is wrong. There's definitely a sign.
Yeah.
So
Get tested.
Mm-hmm. Get tested. And also know your partner's status. Don't just go out there spreading your legs and getting orgasms.
It's
Please get tested.
Yeah, get tested. Both of you get tested together. Mm-hmm. And just remain loyal, because you can't be out here spreading things.
But I feel like, okay, I believe in sexual liberation for mm-hmm. women. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you. Even for men, if you feel like that's what you want to do, mm-hmm. just make sure you're doing whatever it is you want to do. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. you're not going out there spreading diseases to yeah. people and giving things people do not want. Yeah. So for some people, sex is spiritual. Sex mm-hmm. is about connecting. And for some people, sex is all about fun.
Yeah.
So whatever you believe and whatever mm-hmm. you own up to, mm-hmm. do you. But at the same time, protect yourself and protect others. That's yeah. what all that matters yeah. for me.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Thank you for coming on the podcast. I had an amazing time recording this episode, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I hope you had an amazing time.
Yeah,
too.
I did. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So, yes, guys, see you guys next week. Do not forget to stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask. And most importantly, share this podcast with your friends, your enemies, family members, cousins, whoever it is out there you want to share this podcast with. This podcast is most likely to put a smile on your face. So why are you stingy? Just, you know, share this podcast and have some fun. Say anyone you want to give a shout out to.
Probably Trevor. That's my boyfriend.
Oh, Trevor. I don't know if Trevor's going to listen to this, but
He will.
Thank you for being an amazing daddy. Thank you so much. Do you have a song you also like you want to share with people to listen to? Any, your favorite song?
My favorite song.
Or any song you've been listening to or jamming to of late?
Jeez. I think it's called Jam by Chronix.
So guys, check out Jam by Chronix, suggested by Messy Uma. For the week, make sure you guys jam to the song. Jam.
Yeah.
Okay guys, that is it for this week. Bye.
Bye.